Hello, everyone, and welcome to Food Safety Matters, the podcast for food safety professionals. I'm Stacey Acheson, publisher of Food Safety Magazine, and I want to thank you for joining us for another special bonus episode. Pathogen detection is a fundamental aspect of any food safety plan, but with technology moving faster than ever, it can be a big challenge to know what the best method is for your needs. After all, there are so many options and so many things to consider in finding the right solutions. To learn more about one possible solution, Barbara recently sat down with Nevin Pereira to discuss some very unique aspects of PerkinElmer's Solus One Salmonella and Solus One Listeria ELISA immunoassays. Anyone that's asking, is there a better system for me? We'll get a lot out of this conversation. Nevin is extremely knowledgeable and helps you understand what you need to know when you look for the best pathogen detection method for you. I just said that Nevin is very knowledgeable. Well, this is why. Nevin Pereira is Research and Development Manager for PerkinElmer, where he and his team have developed a range of ELISA immunoassays, including Solus One Salmonella and Solus One Listeria. He continued his academic career at the Department of Cell Signaling and Immunology at the University of Dundee, carrying out postdoctoral research into the regulation of the tumor suppressor gene PTEN for 5 years, finishing with 10 peer-reviewed journal publications. Upon leaving academia, Nevin has focused his career in ELISA and LFD development, doing outstanding work at Merck Millipore, MediaWatch PLC, and now PerkinElmer. All right, let's hear that discussion.
Welcome, Nevin, to the podcast today. I'm really excited to learn more about PerkinElmer's efforts in helping the food industry keep food safe for consumers everywhere. So let's get started. You know, it really strikes me that in a fast-paced food processing facility, there's a lot of pressure on food testing to be not only just as rapid, but sufficiently accurate to enable the facility to take immediate action when necessary. Was this the impetus for developing the Solus One pathogen detection system?
Well, thank you, Barbara. And first of all, I'd like to acknowledge FSM for the opportunity to speak on behalf of PerkinElmer about our Solus One pathogen detection range. With regards to that question there, I actually fully agree with that statement, Barbara. We all know that our food industry is under pressure to provide the food supply chain and ultimately the consumer with safe food produce in a timely, effective, and efficient manner. Also, our food industry is aware of foodborne outbreaks, their impact on consumer illness, obviously hospitalization, and unfortunately, fatalities. You know, with the additional impact on productivity and revenue losses, which really can be running into hundreds of millions of dollars a year. Also, with it, particularly within the US, I mean, that sector is overseen by the FDA and the FSIS. And really, no one wants to be in the headlights, as it can have a negative influence both on the brand and on the company's reputation. So obviously, with us being mindful of how listeriosis can impact, you know, particularly on pregnant women and then newborns, obviously elderly adults and immune compromised individuals, and also not forgetting how significant salmonellosis can be, with almost two-thirds of pathogen bacterial foodborne outbreaks being responsible to salmonella. And let's not also forget about our enterohemorrhagic E. coli that can produce our Shiga toxins and cause life-threatening illnesses in humans. We must, therefore, you know, critically identify contaminated materials in as rapid a time as possible. So facilities must have confidence, you know, in the tests that they're using to deliver both rapid and accurate findings, you know, so that immediate actions can be taken when necessary. This obviously has to include informing the manufacturers to hold material if presumptive positives identified, or recall material before it reaches our consumers. And saying all of that, you know, obviously that was what was in, you know, in the forethought of Perkin Elmer developing the Solus One pathogen detection system. And that does include our one Salmonella, our one Listeria, and our one E. coli 157. So that really, we could arm fast-paced food processing facilities with a system that not only delivered on rapid and accurate results, but, you know, also shows robustness in its ability to cover a wide array of food types in these multiple categories.
Now, were you hearing from food processors that they were frustrated by how long it was taking to get time to results, that you felt this was a niche that you could address?
It was coming, obviously, from our sales and marketing department, who are obviously much closer in contact with these food processing facilities. And yes, I think there is a frustration with them that results don't come back in as rapid a time as possible, you know, and it is important that they can get answers. So they, you know, they can basically be securing the knowledge of what they're reporting back to these manufacturers. You know, it's critical on everyone throughout this food supply chain. And hearing that information, it obviously was important for us as a method developer to, you know, deliver on products that can give these answers in as rapid a time as possible.
Now, how specifically do the Solus One assays help achieve the goals of rapid, accurate, efficient food pathogen detection?
Well, you know, when Perkin Elmer developed the Solus One assays, we really went after the trifecta of, you know, these rapid time to result specific and sensitive assays, you know, that actually delivered accurate and effective food pathogen detection for, you know, for really for both food matrices and environmental surfaces. And, you know, in the background, we obviously had to think about the Food Safety Modernization Act and that, you know, it had to align with FSMA. Now, obviously, prior to the development of the one pathogen system, you know, Solus had developed a range of ELISA tests, which are our Salmonella ELISA, the Listeria ELISA, Listeria monocytogenes ELISA, and the E. coli 157 ELISA, you know, which were AOAC, PTM, and AFNOR ISO certified, right? Now, the Salmonella, the Listeria, and the Listeria monocytogenes ELISAs worked from the principle of a dual media enrichment step, obviously prior to analysis by, you know, these sandwich ELISA amino assays. And that gave time to results between 39 to 52 hours, you know, in comparison to our E. coli 0157 ELISA, which worked of a single enrichment step that gave a time to result within 18 to 22 hours. Now, the key difference is that the Solus One ELISAs, whilst not only providing target-specific sensitivity, which had to be achieved by breakthrough advances in ELISA sensitivity, so that we could basically get optimal antibody orientation and functionality. But with that, we actually had to couple the development of a bespoke Solus One conjugate diluent, which actually significantly boosted up to fivefold the detection level of target cells. And that again was a critical enhancement over the previous Solus standard ELISA tests, right? Now, saying all of that, the Solus One assay improvement in target specificity came through the development of our polyclonal antibodies, which, as I said, we purified in-house using advanced affinity purification. And alongside that, we actually had novel monoclonal detection antibodies, which actually helped capture a wide range of target strains. The other part of the trifecta was obviously the selectivity. And now for the Solus One Salmonella and 1E coli 0157 pathogen systems, we did that through the development of a supplement that contained a selective component which inhibited the growth of the gram-positive microflora and some non-target gram-negative species, whilst concurrently supporting the growth of the stressed injured Salmonella species and the E. coli 0157, which obviously did include the H7. But we have to remember, the biggest driving force behind this development was obviously having a new competitive workflow that gave, you know, a rapid time to result. And one of the key things by doing that, by achieving that, was through the development of bespoke proprietary media that suddenly changed the test from previous dual enrichment steps for Salmonella and Listeria to single enrichment steps. Really critical when you think that you're potentially halving the time, you know, the enrichment time. You're going from 2 days to 1 day. Massive improvement for, you know, for our facility processes. But also, as I said, you know, whilst not only then being able to confirm a day earlier, it meant that the time to results dropped, where we could basically get negative results in 22 to 25 hours for our one Salmonella and one Listeria. And the one E. coli, we were able to get negative results in 12 hours. So really critical advancements in the development of our ELISA tests.
So Nevin, how do you position your products in the range of choices that processors have out there for pathogen detection?
So obviously processors and these facilities can choose between, you know, molecular platforms, cultural-based tests, and obviously you've got amino assays such as the ELISA technology. And we know that ELISA technology has been around for decades. And obviously, you know, there is this big push with molecular platforms, you know, the sudden development of whole genome sequencing and the role that it also plays. And I think ultimately at the end of the day, you know, ELISAs are not PCR, they're not molecular tests. But we believe through the enhancements we've made, we now see ourselves wanting to pitch alongside molecular platforms. That's where we want to be at. You know, we're not a molecular PCR based assay, right? We are an ELISA. But what we say is we're the best in field when it comes to ELISAs. And as I said, through our development, it's now taking us closer to molecular and what they have been delivering for customers that use molecular platforms than what our original ELISAs did.
So in terms of the time to results, you would say you're very competitive or superior to those molecular methods?
I would say, you know, we're on a par. You know, I think depending on the target organisms, we're certainly equivalent. Sometimes, you know, we've shown, which we'll obviously discuss later, through some of our own validations, that we can be superior. But I think, you know, overall, we're pretty much equivalent to molecular platforms. And that gives us great pride that we can actually move an ELISA amino assay onto the levels that people see molecular platforms at.
So all things being equal, what is the strongest selling point that you offer why a processor should choose your products over a molecular method?
PerkinElmer wanted to develop an end-to-end diagnostic solution that obviously provides significant operational benefits to our fast-paced food processing facilities. And I think ultimately, the Solus One range provides a cost-effective price per test by sort of optimizing, I believe, the following workflow parameters. We're able to obviously reduce our enrichment media dilution, particularly for some of the high toxicity matrices that we've been validated against. Our throughput and efficiency has also been dramatically improved with our simple cost-effective liquid handling solution, which is our Dynex DS2 instrument that we get from Dynex Technologies. And basically, through the flexibility of testing with the option of both manual and automated processing, we feel that labs in turn have the flexibility to run any number of samples, you know, with ultimate efficiency based on their circumstances. And the other beauty of our system is that all our enriched samples can be stored for up to 72 hours prior to testing, thereby allowing smaller labs the opportunity to batch test, again, improving the efficiency of their process. But I think when we focus in on the actual kits themselves, you know, our one kits contain reagents for 96 or 480 tests in a single small box, you know, and if we think about how we've compacted our reagents, it now requires a small refrigerator footprint, okay? Which ultimately, if there's less storage, you know, and less refrigerators needed, you know, it can, whilst it's small, it can also help in reducing the running costs of a lab. And I think also you've got to think it's not just about the tests when they actually go into these facilities. What PerkinElmer, you know, prides itself in is that we provide excellent on-hand assistance with both these assay and machine-related queries. So if a facility has any problems, you know, we feel very confident and we strive to basically resolve these problems in a rapid time frame, meaning that that they actually have less downtime from testing. And also, I think if you look at the system as a whole and you try and sort of compare it to molecular platforms, we basically only have one manual large volume liquid transfer step, right, before the automation process. So again, what we feel this does is that it provides a smaller chance of volume errors from occurring. And then, you know, honing on the actual processes, if we think about molecular tests, right, and the way that they actually have to be run, you know, you've got the mining convenience of, you know, sort of capping or uncapping tubes, which isn't a part of our Solace One workflow, right? So if we think that actual little process of capping or uncapping, it can actually become extremely time consuming and eventually costly for the facility, you know? And overall, because our assays have a simpler, easier to use workflow, you know, it actually requires a lower skilled workforce to run them. And, you know, this in turn, you know, provides a lower cost output for these facilities, which obviously has an impact on their overall running costs. And as I said, again, another small little margin. I'd say another, you know, potential advantage that we have over molecular platforms, our Solace One range only detects viable target cells. So it means that if a sample comes back positive, okay, it actually indicates to that facility that there is disease-causing bacteria in that sample. You know, it is a viable cell that has grown up. So within that batch of produce, there is a food pathogen contaminant that, you know, has been now identified and that contaminated produce, you know, we can put a hold on it or recall it back before it gets into the consumer hands. You know, again, another thing that I would say is as an advantage we have, we've got robust sample preparation protocols. So, you know, again, there's less chance of, you know, lab-based contamination of the samples. And if we can reduce these contaminations, right, there's less opportunity for samples to be repeated, which again costs time, money, delays for the processor. So that, you know, as I said, these are all little small things. And I think, you know, in essence as well, by actually reducing the amount of contaminations, errors that can occur, you know, you could argue that these facilities probably don't need to have a separate work area, you know. So therefore, you know, you could actually have more facility footprint consigned to processing these customer samples, and therefore overall more revenue for the processing facility. So, you know, I think each of these elements, they may seem small and insignificant in isolation, right? But if we consider the influence on facility productivity, when it's scaled up over thousands or even millions of samples, particularly in some of the bigger facilities, you know, the Solus One pathogen detection system, you know, by minimizing these efforts, these effects, sorry, you know, does improve workflow and cost efficiency for our facility customers. And I think, you know, with that in mind, I just like to give, you know, one example. We've had a great close relationship with one customer here in the UK, ALS Rotherham. And they have our DS2 automated solution in conjunction, obviously, with our products. And, you know, when they actually came to us to find a solution, and we were able to provide this, what we heard back from them was that it, you know, it dramatically reduced their lab footprint, but it also helped increase the numbers of samples that they can run to 186 samples in, you know, in one of our automated run programs. You know, and this basically what this resulted in was them being able to process twice as many samples per day with the lower associated costs. And because, again, as I said about our smaller box footprints, you know, compared to some of the competitors, you know, they could basically order fewer kits, less deliveries, had smaller footprints, meaning that they were able to actually reassign refrigerator space for other stock, making the whole thing more effective and efficient. Also, because our automated, you know, Dynex DS2 instruments are quite small in their footprint, right? It created more space in the lab. And through this automated process, you know, their technicians had more time to carry out other tasks during the working day. So, you know, really, as they've said to us, for ALS Rotherham, you know, switching to the Solus, you know, pathogen detection system to really critically achieve food safety excellence truly did make, you know, both scientific and commercial sense for them. And you know, PerkinElmer feels very proud that we could actually help, you know, a facility achieve these standards, which ultimately helps, you know, safeguard consumers.
Right. Those are great advantages. All our listeners should be taking copious amounts of notes when they're comparing systems. I think it's a slam dunk. What kind of regulatory body validations and certifications have the Solus One range gone through?
Well, we've had some fun there over the last couple of years. So, you know, I think at the end, you know, when we started this journey, obviously one of the key things before we even sort of entered any kind of validation, we had to be, you know, conscious of doing extensive internal verification, right? You know, we obviously from day one, you know, wanted to gain certification through these regulatory body validations, right? And it's absolutely critical because we wanted to understand how our test methods independently performed to existing reference methods, you know? And obviously we've got to think of that when we go through these certification processes and, you know, the countries that we plan to offer these methods to commercially, what that certification process means to these countries. So, I mean, as I said, you know, after all our extensive testing, you know, if we look back again over the, let's say, the last 2 years, Barbara, literally since about mid-2018, you know, we've gone through AOAC performance tested, you know, PTM validations on our Solus One Salmonella, our Solus One Listeria, our Solus One E. coli 0157. And we've also, you know, gained AFNOR certification on Solus One Salmonella. But to do that, you know, we've also had to develop proprietary modified BPW. And what that has also enabled us to do is expand our scope of certification for one Salmonella into, you know, really challenging matrices such as spices and flavor blends, but also chocolate confectionery products, you know. And I think without really going too much more into the details, what I would certainly say is that if you'd like the certificate numbers or reports on our kits, then please don't hesitate in contacting Perkin Elmer for more information, or obviously visiting our website to learn more about our products. But I think everyone actually has to remember that it's no longer an option for method developers to undergo certification, you know, because basically regulatory authorities expect a level of rigor associated with these AOAC and ISO validation schemes. You know, I've talked about the PTM method, but on top of that success, you know, we've actually shown how strong the Solus One Salmonella kit is by actually obtaining official method for analysis certification. You know, this is significant because within these levels, obviously the different extents of validation and rigor have occurred. But by Solus One Salmonella obtaining OMA certification, you know, it's now acceptable to the FDA regulatory authorities, which again is a real, you know, enhancement and, you know, of the test. And I think also what we have to remember is that during these independent regulatory body validations, we actually have come across molecular reference methods, you know, and as I said earlier, one of the beauties of how we've shown an enhancement of ELISA technology and how it's now able to compete with molecular platforms is that when we did our PTM validation on our Solus One E. coli 0157 test, when they did probability of detection statistical analysis, that highlighted a significant difference in favor of our method over, a molecular reference method. You know, so as I said, these are just small indicators of how Perkin Elmer, through the development of the system, is now really challenging, you know, PCR molecular platforms and actually putting our hand up and saying, please take note of us, because we're here to stay. You know, we're right on your heels and we're challenging you. And all these things that you may have thought about Eliza, we're trying to disprove and actually show how good we are. But there's also another thing about these regulatory body certifications. And, you know, as I said, they're really important to how these tests are perceived and used in the different geographic territories. You know, PerkinElmer is a global company, right? We target marketplace entry not only in the US and North American territories, but we're also, you know, we're going into Europe, Latin America, South Africa, Asia, and Australia. Truly global, right? But differences do occur in these territories, right? If we think about it, Europe preferentially uses the ISO reference methods. North America, you know, it's the AOAC, USDA, MLG, and FDA BAM reference methods that are used. Latin America, you know, if we think there, the export markets, centers where these export markets are, they use local references and relevant certification systems, which are in place to satisfy client testing requirements for LATAM. You've also got Asia Pacific, Australia and New Zealand, which again are divided between AOAC and ISO regulatory bodies. So what I'm trying to say is understanding the geographical location and what certification standards are to be used in these territories is very important. But as with anything, exceptions do occur. And, you know, and we have to think that, you know, where certification in the US occurs to commercialize tests, it can also occur via ISO certification, and that can be AFNOR, MicroValve, or NordValve. But if a method developer chooses to go down the route of ISO certification and wish to enter the US marketplace, as long as that certification is compared to the USDA or FDA reference methods, then that is an acceptable method for entry into the US marketplace. So understanding the nuances in validation by region is absolutely critical, you know, and ourselves, PerkinElmer, as a company, we want to overcome these by certifying our tests to multiple regulatory bodies and reference methods. So globally, we can give our customers confidence that when they enter their own internal validations, they already know that they're actually dealing with a robust test that has been through, you know, significant rigor and validation and testing by these bodies.
So Nevin, you hinted at this a little bit earlier, but if you're a processor and you have a challenging food or environmental matrix, how can you be confident in your results using your system?
You're right. You know, I sort of did infer on this earlier, and you know, there has, again, everything has been a journey, but this has been a really interesting journey, being, you know, by us in being able to, you know, work with these challenging food or environmental surface matrices. And I think, you know, we've got to go back that when we conceived the notion of developing a faster time to result system, pathogen detection system, you know, we knew we'd have to, as I said, rethink and alleviate this ELISA technology to make the tests best in field, to make them be able to cope with these challenging systems. And obviously, by the improvements we've done in assay sensitivity, specificity, and, you know, and obviously selectivity, but combined with, you know, with the development of our bespoke supplements and media, you know, that preliminary help in, you know, and improve the recovery of our stressed and injured target organisms, but also really help reduce the overall growth time you know, needing the target bacteria to get to sufficient levels. You know, the one assay, lower assay sensitivity levels. But having made all these improvements, right, and by doing extensive internal validation, we found that the test was actually starting to show a lot of robustness against these different matrices, you know, and that they were performing to these industrial AOAC and ISO global standards. So, you know, if we consider the environmental surface matrices first, you know, we know that our target organisms can be injured and stressed from cleaning solutions that are used to wipe down these surfaces, but they still remain viable. We also know that these environmental samples can be heavily challenged, you know, with excessive competition from other microflora. That can, you know, indeed compete with our target organism and outgrow them. And that's critically important because that can obviously lead to false negative results. So, you know, I've told you we've taken great pride in being able to, you know, develop proprietary, you know, media like our One Listeria Solo Plus media. And obviously our, you know, our selective supplement for One Salmonella. But, you know, when we validated those, you know, it actually started to show that, you know, internally we could overcome, you know, the types of challenges that we were facing, and it was leading to positive results on these environmental surfaces that actually contained target organisms. And it showed that the internal testing, you know, did confirm suitability of our one assays to these environmental surfaces. And obviously the subsequent validations, PTM, you know, has shown that it does meet the standards. So that's really the environmental surfaces. But, you know, we've also got to think that there's a lot of challenging food matrices out there, you know, and as I said, we've been able to get extension to scope on spices, flavoring blends, you know, if we think, you know, and also, you know, our chocolate confectionery cocoa-based products. Now, if we think of that group of challenging matrices, we know that they contain, you know, antimicrobial properties. And traditional enrichment methods, you know, that are basically used for the culturing of Salmonella and subsequent testing, you know, on molecular, you know, competitive amino assay and cultural methodologies actually sometimes struggle to detect these pathogenic organisms. And that's important, as I said, because it can lead to potential public illness outbreaks, hospitalizations and fatalities. And that has been shown to be directly, you know, traced back to these contaminated spices and cocoa-based products. And it's also important because the distribution of spice from the primary producer to the consumer can be really complex. It can involve multiple locations, multiple processing, and obviously multiple packing steps. And anywhere in that supply chain, if there is inappropriate packing or storage of these spices, you know, they can actually lead to the introduction of Salmonella. And there's also, you know, food safety concerns, you know, with these secondary spice processing facilities, you know, particularly the seasoning and the food manufacturing facilities, plus wholesalers that, you know, as I said, pack and repack these spices. But you've also got issues with spice sometimes being added to food that could have actually had, you know, a bacterial kill step previously in their preparation, but then adding raw spice that's contaminated, we've got the problem again. So, you know, these are really important. And as I said, because of, you know, the previous challenges of these spices, but also the influx of complaints, you know, and contaminations that have been reported and seen by the FDA and the FSIS, you know, it's really important that we get a hold of it. You know, there's also been multiple outbreaks in confectionery since the 1960s in the US, right? And you know, again, those things have been linked to the manufacturing process. You know, things like treatment and mixing of ingredients, you know, related to, like, say, the cocoa beans, the dairy components. You know, sometimes, you know, in these chocolate produce, you've got nuts and different fillings that are in there. So these are all little steps where salmonella can get introduced. It can contaminate the end product, and it can lead to potential problems downstream. And so, as I said, here at PerkinElmer, right, we wanted to identify this sweet spot in the marketplace. We wanted to go after this sweet spot because we have shown that through our testing and then subsequent validation, that we can meet the challenges, but, you know, faced by these troublesome matrices, you know, that if a processor, you know, basically puts their faith in our system, you know, through our testing, we can repay that faith back in being able to help them identify, you know, potentially contaminated foods in these troublesome matrices, and really help protect, you know, the consumer at the end of the day, help protect our manufacturers, you know, make sure that the supply process is effective. It works, you know, it doesn't lead to difficulties. And, you know, at the end of the day, that's what we're all here for. We're all here to work together to give the safest products that we can possibly give to people, to consumers.
Right. So as we wrap up today, Nevin, given the limited margins in food production and the challenges introduced by the pandemic, which we haven't even touched on, it seems like a no-brainer to me that there are processors out there, after hearing all that you've had to say, they want to be in touch with you and PerkinElmer to see what their next steps may be. So what's the best way for the processors to get in touch with you?
Well, as I said, if they were able to, if they can get onto our websites, there'll be lots of contact details, both regionally and, as I said, centrally. You know, the information is there. So please do feel free. A lot of our brochures and our literature is on the website. They can follow the links to our pathogen detection systems, and then based on their territories, you know, we've got a huge sales force that's waiting to hear from them to help them in whatever way we can. At the end of the day, our mantra is to work and help our customers, and, you know, openly, we want to find solutions for them, and you know, we're here to help everyone. So please do go on our website, do look at our links, read our, you know, our information, and, you know, if we can provide you with a better solution that's going to make your processes more efficient, more robust and reliable, and ultimately save you money, you know, and make you more challenging in the marketplace, then that's great. We're happy to help in whatever way that we can.
Thanks again to Nevin for his very informative discussion, and PerkinElmer for sponsoring this episode. For more information on how PerkinElmer's Solus One ELISA immune assays can help you keep your products safe, visit the show notes page in your podcast player or on the episode page on our website at foodsafetymagazine.com/podcast/Solus One. We hope you enjoyed this special episode of Food Safety Matters. We'll talk to you soon.